Welcome to Table Talks. Today, we will be embarking on a brand new podcast journey where we will be gathering around the table, sharing stories, insights, and intricacies of everyday life. The inspiration for this podcast sprang straight from the pages of my new cookbook, The Table, which we launched in October. And that cookbook has been a testament to the profound significance of the table itself. Who would have thought that the simple act of gathering around the table could or would impact so many lives, strengthening families and relationships, fostering community, and shaping the very fabric of our lives? We will be delving into some meaningful topics on this podcast, like intentionality, gratitude, the art of hospitality, navigating life challenges, and many, many more. Each episode, I'll be welcoming amazing guests and will gain their perspective and understanding on these great topics. So I invite you to join me around the table. About a year ago, as you guys know, I had this idea, but really a lot of encouragement from family and friends to gather a bunch of recipes that were scattered everywhere, years and years and years of recipes and stories, and put them in a book form. So I put together, wrote a cookbook, and we launched it in October, which was really fun. And one of the things, I had so much support from my family, and I thought it'd be fun on this first podcast, the first ever of this podcast series, to have a few family members here that were so supportive and just talk about the table and why it's important in our lives. And so I have with me, this is my husband, Galen, and our oldest son, Dustin, and his wife, Mandy, and they know a lot about the table because they're here every Monday night for a family dinner with our entire family. We get together every week. We actually started those dinners. We call them Monday night family dinner. Actually, the grandkids now say, are we having family dinner? So I guess it's called family dinner. We were trying to add that up probably close to 20 years ago.
Probably, yes.
And do you remember, I mean, I know you do, we started them for a specific reason. I mean, it's not that we don't eat food every night. We do eat every night of the week, and we did 20 years ago. It might have been Hamburger Helper, but we still ate. And so why did we
start? Okay, I remember one night that really launched all of this, and it was by accident, but we were sitting at the table right here in this area, and it was just our family, two of us, our three kids. They were in high school, middle school, and we were sitting at the table, and we were talking about grades. And so one of our kids had
Was it Dustin?
It was not Dustin, okay. But one of our kids had a really bad report card. And so we were sitting at the table, and we were just, you know, really just
trying to think,
you know,
who else it would be.
Okay, it was Brandon.
Okay, there you go.
And so
nice.
But we were just on him and on him, and finally, it really got kind of a fevered pitch, and he started crying and jumped up and knocked over the chair and ran to his bedroom and slammed the door. And I can remember sitting here with our two boys, and you know, and it was just total silence, and was very, very awkward. And they were looking at me like I'd done something wrong, which I probably had. But I can remember when that was over, Kay and I sitting down, and it was really kind of an ugly scene. And we said, never again will we ever allow that to take place around the table. And that was a marked moment that I'll never, ever forget. And we said, table is sacred. And when we're here, we will never, ever discipline. We will never talk about those kinds of things. We want this to be upbeat and where it's family and where they crave to come to this time.
Well, mainly because they were so active and busy, they were hardly ever home. You guys were hardly ever home. So when we got time together and we happened to all be at the same place at the same time for dinner, and then we felt like we ruined a moment that we could have had with our family because we thought, well, we're here at dinner at the table and we never see you guys, so we're going to tackle this here. And we realized if we want them to want to come to dinner, A, we better have really good food. And B, let our family know it's a safe space and we're not gonna get so deep that it's gonna, you know, gonna be awkward at, like times can be. And so, I mean, I was trying to think, I guess you were probably in high school when we started
late
calling
high school.
It a
so
family
it
night.
It was probably 23, 24 years ago. Because, yeah, I'm 40.
You're that old?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I remember in high school, so, you know, I'm thinking back to some of my memories of all of that. It really was started from that, but also just because, like, when I started driving, when Jonathan started driving, we were everywhere. Youth stuff, sports stuff, and it was to get things under control a little bit to where we prioritize that. And so I just remember coming home from football, and I remember vividly changing in the locker room in high school, out of all my football stuff, and just desperately looking forward to walking in the front door and smelling dinner, because I just knew it was going to be there. And so that back then it was most nights, but even starting to prioritize the certain Monday night, I just knew family dinner is going to be on that night. And as I started getting older, junior, senior, and then I went away for college and came back, and I knew it was still going, and you just plan around it. And it was honestly something I never dreaded. I wanted to do. And I just have those vivid memories of that just being something that I honestly just looked forward to. It was always just a feeling of warmth. It was a feeling of, at least if everything was chaotic, we would all be in one place at that time. So I don't know. I loved it. It was just something I started craving. And then when we got married, we just kind of knew. I remember telling her for the first time what family dinner was. And she was like, "You guys do that every single Monday?" I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, it's family dinner.
Free dinner. Free dinner. I don't have to cook."
I know. So yeah. And then honestly, for me, thinking through family dinners throughout the years, going back to high school, college, since we've been married, every family. So it's you guys, it's us, Jonathan and Jessica, Brandon and Delaney. Now they've moved, but you think about all the years of we were working together, being around each other all the time. Most of the time, everything's great. But then there's also tension moments in every family. And what I feel like one of the biggest benefits of the family dinner is even in those tension seasons where there's miscommunication or someone was in an argument, or, you know, it keeps us face to face. Yeah. It keeps us face to face. It forces us to come together, reminding each other that we're family, that we're going to work through this. And so those are the really, I mean, high priority things that I noticed that really made a difference.
Well, going back, you know, you were talking about when you were in high school, one of the great memories that I just, you know, thought of, you invited several friends often to those dinners, and we invited them. And some of these friends of yours, they had a bad family life. Things weren't really great. And it was life changing for them to sit at our table with our family. And it really impacted them for many, many years after that, still today.
Yeah. Don't you think that's kind of a tactic to get your kids to show up? And you can bring your friends.
Absolutely.
We do that still, like, bring your boyfriend, bring your girlfriend. We just want you here. And that always seems to work.
I mean, at the time of this recording, this next Monday night, we have pastor friends in town. And I'm 40, and I called them and said, "You want to come over to family dinner with my mom and dad?" You know, because it's cool though, because it is family dinner, but the door was always open for family to bring people to feel like family.
And I always cook enough. Always. Mindy, you tell us the story. The first night you met Dustin, you'd come out to visit your sister, and you said you came over and the whole family was here. It was probably a Monday night. It may have been a family dinner because you came in and you kind of got thrown into it. You were just coming to visit.
Standing right here in this kitchen, and he comes walking through the door, and the rest is history.
So you could find your spouse.
Yeah, at a family dinner.
At your family
dinner. You could meet your person you're going to marry.
So go to family dinner.
Go to family dinner.
What? You said, honestly, I can't even believe. So before you've been married over 12 years, 12 and a half years, right? So for 13 years, you've been coming. And when you came to our family, the family dinners actually got a lot more lively because the kids were two, and probably five and six. And all of a sudden we had this quiet, like, dinners with adult people, and here come the kids, and it got crazy, and it's been just, but crazy, best fun.
So crazy. I remember the first time I came to family dinner with the kids, I was so nervous, because I knew, I mean, you bring three little kids, and Kay made green beans that night.
And they were like fresh green beans.
No, they were great green beans, but Aiden was probably 5 years old. And he did not like green beans. Oh, and he still doesn't.
No, it's a certain kind.
It makes me so mad because he is so weird about that. But I was really on edge because I wanted to not make a bad impression.
See how perfect we are.
And Aiden, I made him taste the green beans and he gagged.
He was gagging at the table.
I was so mad at him.
He went to the front yard.
And I am from
Alabama.
He's
crying. She's pinching him under the table.
I took him to the front yard and I think I spanked him. It was so funny. funny. And Dustin goes, we're in New Mexico. No, you can't do that.
So I was like, well, especially
not. I was like, you can't in the front
eat those green beans. And he's crying.
Don't ever gag in front of me.
No. Yeah, I hadn't learned the lesson of no discipline at the table yet.
I have so many memories of Monday night, mainly that how tired I am when it's over. But now we have, you know, like I said earlier, and you know, 9 grandchildren. So I have 3 sons and 3 daughters-in-laws and 9 grandchildren. But it's great because now I can do all cook, and Galen helps, and then the daughters-in-law jump up and do dishes. And, you know, they never last long enough for me because I just want the family to be together all the time. But I love it, and I look forward to it. And they're so intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to cook something that everybody likes. I mean, Aiden's never going to eat anything green.
No.
Maybe when he gets a little older. I think they say your taste buds change every 7 years. So maybe 7
he's 18.
Years,
it's time.
He won't eat anything green. And they like tan food, but I try to accommodate that. But I love it. They text during the day and say,
it's beige.
What's for dinner?
They know for days before we come what dinner is. I mean, they know.
Yeah, they always tell us.
You know, what I love is when they come in now, you know, they're older and they're so hungry, but they've disciplined themselves not to snack because they want to eat the food when they get here. And so if I'm cutting meat on the cutting board, they'll line up watching me cut, and they're hoping that I'll just slide over a piece too.
Yeah,
I love that.
He does slide a piece over.
I always do.
They don't have to hope.
That's right.
They don't have to hope with your grandparents. You just get what you want.
That is true.
How was that like growing up in your family? So you got like sisters. There's 3 girls.
3 girls, and my mom always would make us, like, we all had our jobs, you know, like. You make the tea. You always make tea, right?
Yeah, because we didn't have
you make
Milo tea in a jug.
Yeah. You make the tea. You set the table. You did, and so we all were in there with her, and those are good memories. And then we always knew, like, we all had different jobs after it was over. It was like, you clear the table, you load the dishwasher, you do. But my mom had this system.
I bet.
So nice, really. But
your parents are pastors too, so you know, like Dustin. I mean, him growing up in a pastor's home, and we ate a lot at home as much as we could.
I think my mom cooked every night because we had to, unless it was like Wendy's 5 for 5s, you know. We didn't have a lot of money, so we made food every single night. And then my grandma, one of my core memories of the table is my grandma made a roast every Sunday. So my mom and dad retired because they had been, you know, their pastors. So we knew when we finished service on Sunday, we're going roast to grandma's. We had the roast, potatoes, all the stuff. And it was just fun coming in. It smells so good. And then we'd fight over, this isn't shows how old I am, but we would fight over the funny papers, like who got the comics.
Sunday funny paper. We call the funny paper.
I get the funny. I call the funny. Yeah,
that's what it's we
so
weird.
What? That makes me sound so old.
Oh, funnies. Yes, that's what my
My grandma did not have a television, so we were kind of, we didn't know what to, we were kind of
Sundays
bored.
Could be so boring in the afternoon.
Yeah,
right?
So
that's actually
we would run in.
Oh, right?
I'm only 4 years older than him, but that is so weird. We're like, I call the funnies. So weird. But yes, that was my
Sunday afternoon for me was just go over to different friends' houses in the church every Sunday afternoon for 3 hours and then come back to Sunday night church.
Which was kind of the worst. What
we didn't cook on Sunday afternoons because Galen's been a pastor all their lives.
We prioritized the first cafeteria.
So we went to first cafeteria every single Sunday with probably 20 people from our church because the kids' meals were like $1.99. They were so cheap, so that's why we went there. And then they went to $2.99 when they could have extra chicken leg.
That's expensive.
And we went there, and every Sunday, every single Sunday, and you played
that's
in
fun.
Your food and cups. And I just couldn't cook on a Sunday, and no family ever living here to do that for us. But what was it like for you? You guys ate at home all the time.
I mean, every meal was at home. But I can remember going to First Cafeteria when I was a kid, and I thought it was the biggest event in the world. And that you're going down with a tray and you come up with this dessert and you could get 2 desserts if you wanted it.
Did it have soft serve ice cream?
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
But and I like the millionaire pie. Mm-hmm.
When I think back as a child, most of my memories are around the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's when we, early in the morning, I mean, every morning there was a full breakfast. You know, then my mom cooked an amazing dinner every single night. You know, and so that's a lot of memories.
And she worked full time and went to school.
Yeah.
She wasn't home.
So there is something about gathering around the table. You know, a lot of times people ask, you know, what is the success of parenting? Really the glue for us. You know, Kay was a master at this. And it's kind of what you were talking about, Dustin, of just scheduling 3 nights a week when you guys were, all three of you were playing football. Mm-hmm. You had all these church activities. And I mean, it gets so chaotic, like we were talking about, you can't get together. But she really mastered that in just making sure that there was a schedule. You knew exactly what time dinner was. But really, that's the glue. When I think back as a kid, that was the glue for our family.
Like, I know y'all experience this with your kids older now, mm-hmm. most of them. You miss them.
Yeah.
Like you'll go days without seeing them because they come in after you're already, you know, in your room. And I know you wait up till they get home. It doesn't matter how old they are.
Yeah.
But you miss them. Yep. You're like, I just want to see my kids because you like them because you get past the more horrible part of teenager.
Yeah.
And you get to the fun part. Like, I want to hang out. I want to hear what's happening in your life. And that's what I think so cool about being around the table. And that's how it's kind of started in my mind, the family night dinners, because I miss my kids. And I thought, I just wanted to see them. I mean, they're my favorite people in the whole world. And that's who I wanted to hang out with so much. And it's hard when they're young. I've had people tell me since the cookbook came out and say, oh, this is really cool. And I love the idea of a family dinner night, but our kids are toddlers. They don't even sit at the table. And our kids were older when we started that concept, but we've had toddler grandchildren.
Yeah.
And they don't sit at the table.
No.
We had a separate little Minnie Mouse table for them. And they graze. I remember Carson, he's now 5, but he grazed. He'd eat 2 minutes and run away. Yeah. And they're loud, and it was so loud. They're running around. They're on their, you know, scooters or their hoverboards or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's that thing they ride all the time?
Hoverboard.
Oh, it's hoverboard.
Yeah.
They're just circling us at this table. We have this long table.
Yeah.
There's two of these tables actually that we eat at every Monday night. They just circle us like, you know, we're in the Wild West. And I'm like, and we can't hear ourselves think sometimes. So it's truly not. I don't want to paint that it's a Pinterest moment because we eat out of the pot because the daughters-in-laws don't want to do extra dishes. So in my head, we should put it in pretty bowls, but we eat out of the pot.
Paper
we use paper plates. Everybody hits it like ants.
It's, you know, Brandon and Delaney, because they have the youngest kids, I mean, since they've moved, it's, you know, a little bit less chaotic. But honestly, the chaos was fun, you know, because little kids. I mean, it's just, I remember standing back, you know, right before they moved and just, it was so loud in here. It was echoey. The kids are screaming, but it wasn't anger screaming.
No, there's nothing fun.
It's just, you know, just going nuts. But I just stood back and looked at everything and just thought, this is cool. You know, because it's not the picture perfect. Everybody's sitting there proper. There's food on the sides of plates and food on the ground and kids grazing. And you said, you know, little kids barely sit at the table, but teenagers are the same.
Yeah.
You know, they'll come in and literally eat their meal and then you got to go get them out of a room and bring them back. One of the things I was thinking about a second ago is with our oldest daughter, Avery, you know, she struggled for a couple of years in high school and prioritizing the family dinner here, but then also in our house, I mean, there's 2 nights a week where, you know, in moments I know in that season, she did not want to be there, but it forces her to sit down, sit across from you, sit across from Brandon, sit across from Jonathan and Jess and Delaney, and sit across from us. And then there was those moments where at least 2 nights a week, I mean, more than that, but at least 2 nights a week, she's sitting across the table from family members and forced to have conversation. And that was just I think it was a big part of her story, but also just any teenagers go through seasons like that where they don't want eye-rolly and they don't want to sit down. And it's so good to just force that and to make them talk. And it was a really cool thing.
They can to avoid a group setting.
Right.
Because if you're not... If they think they don't have to look you and straight in the eye, then you're not going to see because, you know, I said, and the Bible says the eyes are the window to the soul.
Right.
And they know if you're not looking in my eyes, you won't read what's in my heart.
Yeah.
And they want to avoid you, get busy. Yeah. I got to go to church. I got to do this. I mean, it looks like it's a good thing, but you know, and when you're talking about the little kids and the chaos and when Brandon and Delaney moved, we really missed.
Yeah.
It was so loud. The decibel level really went down and we missed that.
I know.
And you know, so we've learned to embrace the stages of where we're at with family dinners. And if if people have young children, you know, you do the best you can. It's just a matter of you're setting a habit and something with your kids that they know is going to happen all the time. So one day when they come to the table and they sit for the whole meal, you're like,
I know.
Then they're ready for that. Yeah. And I was thinking, we do have that with the teenagers, you know, they're busy and they got to run in the next thing. But just this year in 24, you know, a lot of families do it, but I thought, you know what, we need to start a gratitude jar, because we talk about all the time our family, God does a lot of things every week in our lives that really are miracles, and we'll talk about it, but we don't write it down. And in 2 weeks, you forget when something bad happens. You're like, God, you forgot me. You never do anything for me. And he just did a miracle 2 days before. So now I love what we do now when we get to do the gratitude jar, and I forget it. We have a big glass jar, and I got something off Etsy, and now it says gratitude jar. And we have little white pieces of paper, and we all just go around. And if you have something that week, you know, we want, some weeks maybe you don't feel so grateful or thankful, and you don't write anything. But I love it. I thought that the kids and the teenager grandkids were just going to kind of go, oh my gosh, this is so dumb.
They do it.
They're
the most.
Ones that grab. Yeah, the
that's what
first.
Was so surprising to me, how they are just grabbing the pieces of paper and they're writing. And I mean, they're doing that more than the adults.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
I love that too.
I can't wait till the end of the year. So they write their name, we write our name on it, and the date. So at the end of the year in December, I love to cook the New Year's Day meal. So I'm hoping what my goal would be is January 1st or close to it, that we would sit together and bring out those papers and pass them out, and that people read the miracles God did in our life this year. So if you want an activity maybe to get your kids to sit for two more minutes, there's one thing. So I, you know, and I also know that people sometimes want practical steps, because I, again, since launching that book, I get messages and texts and, you know, DMs on social media asking, what do you do with this? And how do you get your kids? And how, you know, how do we prioritize it? Because I look at everybody's lives on social media too. I follow a lot of people, and I'd like to say it's because I'm so interested. My husband, Galen, says I'm just nosy, but I know everything about everybody. But really, if I follow you on social media, I know your whole life.
Yeah.
But I know you're busy and you have a lot going on, but I'm thinking prioritize the table. You have to prioritize the table. It's, you're going to look back, and the life, your kids, your grandkids, you know, life is just a blur. It goes by so quickly, and you don't want to look back and think, oh, I wish I would have. Mm-hmm. So what would we say? I'd love to give some practical tips to families that have all kinds of ages of kids, or maybe they don't have kids, and they just want to prioritize the table. Maybe the table doesn't bring good memories for some people.
Yeah.
And so sitting around that is a hard thing. How can they do that? How the time of shared meals. How can we do it?
Okay, something that I said a few minutes ago, but this is absolutely vital. You know, for parents, create the right environment. You know, a lot of times, you know, we can be grumpy or short and snap, you know, and at what we're at the kids. That's what, you know, when I said sacred a few minutes ago, we have to come to the table thinking this is a sacred moment of kindness, love, generosity.
Yeah.
It's an embrace. It's where they feel that security. They feel loved, and where they crave that moment. And that's the environment that we create. Mm-hmm. And as Christ followers, that should just flow out of us naturally. Mm-hmm. But we're the guardians of that, the guardians of the table. And we need to really make sure we do that
right. That's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Like,
it
we
is.
All work together, the four of us. And when Brandon and Delaney lived in town, of course, they worked with us too. And then John and Jess go to our church, and he's on our board. And so if we don't watch it, we'll just sit at the table and talk about church.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so, we love church, so we like to talk about it, for one thing.
Yeah.
But we have to be careful to talk about keeping it a sacred space, not to talk shop and not to let it go negative, because we feel safe with each other.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about it, but then you've got all these other ears listening with our children. And so it's really, I think guardian is a great word to say. We're guardians of this idea of the sacred space of the table.
One of the things we've talked about with that topic, because we have a lot of pastor friends that ask us, how do you find the line with talking about church or not? You know, they'll say, we'll try to go out on a date even and not talk about church with our kids, not talk about church. I think that for us is, it's, we don't talk about our experience at church that makes the kids feel isolated, but they're all so ingrained in church. 90% of our conversations at our table at home are about church, but we talk about it, how it pertains to them.
Yeah.
So like Aiden leading student leadership and Avery leading young adult worship, and Aslan and, you know, her perception on kids ministry, and Asher, what he's doing.
She has a lot of comments about
so just, I mean, you know, because they own it. And so 90% of our lives are church, and because we are the church, right? So I think some people try to almost make church the bad thing about the conversation. But where it can get dangerous though, is when you have a person or multiple people at the table that you can exclude when you're talking about it.
Yeah.
That's where you have to get intentional. Like Jonathan's on the board, but he's not on staff. You know, he's on the board, but Jess is not on the board. You know, so there, we got to be very careful to not only talk about that or talk about it, how it pertains to them. You know, Jess is on the women's team. Talk about that. So I think, I don't know, that's kind
that's
of what
very good.
Yeah.
I love that. That's great.
I think
great.
That's true. Yeah. It's such a struggle to not have every single dinner a staff meeting.
Yeah.
Like our kids, and the older they get, the worse it is. And they're critiquing everything and bringing all the problems. And, you know, it really is hard to guard that
but,
side of it.
But we just the other side it. Of that is positive.
Yeah.
It's
because there's a love for the church.
Oh, for
sure. They're working at the church. They're involved in the church. And so it's their life.
Yeah.
And so whatever their life is, that's what they're going
to
talk about.
And I know a lot of ministry people will be watching or listening to this. And one of the things we've noticed genuinely is that if people aren't careful, if they try to protect their kids from church, especially people in ministry, if they try to protect their kids from church, eventually their kids are going to ask in their minds, what are you trying to protect me from?
Yeah.
And then church, all of a sudden in their minds, begins something they have to be shielded from, not something that they should be fully embracing and loving.
Right.
And so there is definitely a line there with the table. It's keeping it sacred, but also asking the right questions about how they own the church in their specific areas.
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes for us, so Galen's up at the church offices more than I am these days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard because, not hard, but when they get over for dinner, I've been holding up things for a week I need to say.
Yeah.
Like I got some critiques too. So I want to tell all the stuff that I know. But, you know, we've gone through, our sons have lived the whole ministry life with us. So we've been on staff at this church for 43 years. That's a lot of years of ministry.
Right.
So you guys walk through really highs with us and really low lows, and we survived it. So it didn't hurt us to talk about some things, and we didn't, you know, because we walked through everything together. I think it's
sometimes you just gotta laugh at things and kind of make fun of people.
Yeah.
I mean, we make fun of ourselves.
Oh,
they go at each other. We're a really dry sense of humor family. We're all sarcastic. Galen is a real. You kid people, you tease a lot, so much that when Finley, our little granddaughter that lives in DC, when she was little, she didn't know what to do with him. Yeah. She was like, that's true. But like Aslan, she's 10, she just gives it right back to him. So we joke a lot, we tease a lot, because that's just, I think that's a, you know, the way his dad was a real joker too, jokester, and that was a really,
you know, fun part one of the things you were saying a little while ago, we hit on it, but I do also think you said at the beginning that you don't want people to look at this cookbook and look at our lives and think this is it's picture perfect. We do have a fantastic family. We really do. But at the same time, what you were saying is so many people are going to be watching or listening and just thinking about some of the problems that they're going to have in their families. We have them too. But the whole issue is finding a way. You're asking like, what are the steps to do this?
Yeah.
It's finding a way to prioritize the table without it being a have to. It is really trying to figure out a way, how can I present this? If they're teenagers, you have to, and they're going to learn that it's a get to. But if people are adults, and even as they become adults, it's how do you present something to where it's a get to, not a have to. And what you guys have done is, I think, done a very good job of, is bringing us along with it. So it's like the get to for us is life is really expensive, and you guys pay for it. Now, everybody's not going to be able to do that, but I think it's finding the way to say, hey, this is a blessing we want to do for you, and not something that we're trying to get you to have to do because we want to be around family. It's we want to see the value in everybody getting together. And what's cool too is you'll be like, hey, come over a little bit early and help me grill. And I love doing that. Or whatever it might be. Jess comes over early sometimes while we're still at work, and she'll help you cook. And and that's the kind of stuff where it turns into a get to. And honestly, our kids, it's a get to for our kids. They really genuinely look forward to it. We do. But I do think as people are I'll say it like this, if people are starting this, really cast the vision for it with your family.
Yes.
That cast the vision for why. And it's to get everybody together, to prioritize something, and even say, if you can't make it on a certain night, no biggie, but we're just gonna do this every whatever night of the week, and this is what we're gonna do. Let us know a few days early if something's coming up, but this is just gonna be a centerpiece in our lives. And I think it can be as simple as that.
I was thinking earlier, so last Monday night, or 2 weeks ago Monday night, we knew that Avery had something at the church and she couldn't be here. And so when we cooked and we'd been talking about it, it was a special meal. I mean, it was fried pork chops and mashed potatoes and all the stuff. And Jaden, who's her boyfriend, he had been mm-hmm. out of the country and he'd got back in that day anyway. We're all, you know, lined up getting our food, you know, tons of us, and we turn around and there's Avery and Jaden.
Yeah.
And there would have been a time when she was struggling in her early teens, yeah. she would not have done that.
No.
But now, and I turn around, she went, "We're here, we yeah. made it." And I mean, we all just cheered because yeah. we were complete. And I love that, that, you know, they're getting older and mm-hmm. they truly don't want to miss out. Yeah. It truly is, you know, FOMO. And I think that's, I want that. And we're so intentional. Sure. We really are. I mean, I've already, so, you know, we're recording this and Monday's coming, mm-hmm. you know, for the pastors, they're saying Sunday's coming, but Monday's yeah. coming. And I think days ahead, what is Monday night dinner? I don't do that for every night of any other night, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking days ahead. What's Monday? What's going to be the main yeah. dish? What's so the side? We're having smothered steak.
All right, let's go.
And mashed potatoes
like
and
smothered
some English peas. And we're going to make fried chocolate pies.
Aiden won't be eating those peas.
He won't be eating the peas. But you know, only one time we've had those fried chocolate pies, I could get it at Texas State Fair.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we're going to fry the chocolate pies and you sprinkle powdered sugar on them. So
let's go.
I've already bought everything. And so I think ahead, so I can plan ahead. But intentionality.
Yeah.
Intentionality on the whole thing.
And it doesn't have to be expensive. We've had family dinners of hot dogs, burgers on the grill.
Right.
It is not about
not at their house.
At our house.
Yeah.
At our house.
I don't think they've had any hot dogs.
You guys do burgers, but it's like burgers.
We've had hot dogs.
No, we do. They love to eat at your house.
The truth is though, I mean, it's not about the caliber of the meal. I think it's about the caliber of prioritizing the dinner and just getting in the atmosphere and just getting together and keeping the atmosphere positive, light. We play games at our family dinner.
I was gonna ask you about that. There's a game they play that they can't remember the name of.
H-Y-G-G-E.
Is it Hygge?
Hygge? I don't know.
Because you see, their kids are four kids. H-Y-G-G-E. 10 years old to 20 years old. So you have, you know, you're out of the little child, you know, toddler season.
So it's just these little cards you claim.
Yeah, it's just kind of, sometimes kids don't know how to even engage in conversation.
Right.
So it's kind of like a conversation kind of starter games where it'll ask you this crazy question like, I don't know. I can't even think of one now.
If you were on an island by yourself,
who would you take with you?
Yeah, who would you take with you? What object would you want? And then you take that card and you go around the table. So then,
what
like,
would you
Asher,
take if you were on an island by yourself?
I don't know.
What would you take if you were on an island by yourself?
Who?
One thing.
No, I know what the question was. If you were on an island by yourself, would you want your mom or dad there to help you survive? And so they're going around, and Mandy and I are sitting there, and they're going around going. but we're all like laughing, you know.
Well, it just depends if you need someone to solve your problems or somebody to go build fire.
Yes, so like that's the kind of stuff. It gets us laughing, talking, and distracted if there's stresses
that's
going on and stuff
that's
like that.
That's the key. Yeah, just having a great time.
Yeah,
laughing around the table.
And I think if somebody's watching this and they have teenagers,
honestly,
if you start these dinners, just get a game like that so it's already fun from the get-go and they're laughing at themselves and you're enjoying each other. And don't expect your family dinners at the sitting at the table part to be more than like 20 minutes. It's not like we're there 2 hours.
No.
So the kids will be gone.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll sit and then Dustin, Galen, and Jonathan will be over sitting on the couch
Monday
Night Football if it's on or anything that's sports. And then Jess and Mandy and I will just hang out here.
Yeah.
And right now, we're excited because we're planning a big family vacation for the summer. So we talk about that a lot at dinner. So just there's always something. But for kids, I just say intentionality, creativity, think ahead. Because it needs to be, in my opinion, one of the most, besides Sunday and getting your family to church, the most important day of your week that you've put thought through it and whatever you have to do to get in the right frame of mind, to come in and be with family, do that because they're depending on it. So, I mean.
And there are people in every church. If your family's out of town, you don't have people, if people that are watching or listening, get people in your church who are in the same boat, young couples, young adults, the people are lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Get your small group together. Whatever it is, family dinner can go beyond biology.
Or even holidays.
Yes.
Like, you know, thinking about Easter's coming.
Right.
What, and maybe you don't have family around. What other couple in the church, they don't have family around together. Do this family gathering together to where they have a place to go on
That's
holiday.
Good.
Yeah. That's you've done that your whole life.
Yeah.
Honestly, since he was a teenager. He would see someone that really just didn't have a place to go or they were lonely. We've had extra people at holiday dinners.
Yeah.
And also Christmas morning, like I'm trying to buy presents the day before because he's all of a sudden we've got someone that's not going to get a present if we don't buy presents. So yeah, I go get 10 because I think they got to have it.
Well, I would find out, I was the youth pastor, I would find out a teenager didn't have family. And I'm like, well, you're coming over to mine, yeah, you know, kind of thing.
And we've done that, you know, and we really want to do it. We want our kids, we want to model that for our kids. And so, I mean, to just this, what a fun first podcast. Yeah. And again, this, the whole thing just coming from the idea that how important a piece of furniture can be in our house. And in the book, I say, honestly, the table is the most important piece of furniture you'll ever buy. And we didn't have one when we first got married. We ate on the floor and used a TV tray kind of thing. And we've just gotten more intentional. We actually had this table. There's a matching one I mentioned a minute ago. They go together and it seats about 20 people. We had it made to sit in this room so that we could have a lot of people because I mean, I want to be able to do this for as long as we can. So the table's an important thing, and I hope it opens up your thought and what can I do? And honestly, you can DM me. I want to talk. I want to talk to people. I love talking about the table. I love talking about the importance in our life, but I truly feel that Dustin and his brothers, I know, would jump in and say, and that it was life-changing for our family, and you guys do it with your family. I know, you know, John and Jess do it, and Brandon Delaney do the same thing, and it's been important. So any thoughts as we close up this first inaugural podcast of Table Talks?
I've talked a lot. I think it was great.
I do too. I think hospitality is a lost value.
We're going to talk about that soon.
You know, and that's one of the things that this restores when people sit here. Your kids begin to pick up on that. They learn that.
Yeah.
Hospitality is such an important part of just society in our lives. And so, you know, there will be a podcast about that.
But manners too. Table manners, they just, I mean, I can't say we have great. I have to say this. One night, was this true? Our little granddaughter, Finley, was visiting in town.
Us.
She went over to their house and she was there.
Sitting next to her at our bar eating breakfast and I had my elbows up. Do you remember her exact words? I had my elbows up like this. She looks up and she goes,
"Are we not Uncle using
Dustin?
Manners?"
She goes, "Uncle Dustin, are we not using manners this morning?" And I went, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Your elbows are on the table." I'm sorry.
She is that proper.
She's a
guy because her two little brothers like stand on the table. And that's why Dustin has elbows on. But that's what I'm saying. It's just,
it's great.
There's so many memories from the table, and you will never regret the time that you gather around the table. Thankful for you guys for taking your time out to come over and to do this podcast. And thank you guys for watching, and can't wait to see you again. Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kwoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.